Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you had a good Easter. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Hare.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Very good. Now,
we were going to be anonymous for the whole show.
We're going to be anonymous for the whole show. That's right. Where do we want to start?
I could start. I mean, if you want
go
me to.
Go for it.
I'll just kind of introduce the topic. There's plenty to say about it. The truce, we're just at the beginning of the, 2-week truce?
In theory.
The truce has been agreed to by the President Trump.
The ceasefire that isn't.
And somebody from the Iranian government. And, of course, the problem is we don't know who's in charge over there. So we don't know whether the person who agreed to that, and this is all negotiated through
Pakistan.
The group of people from Pakistan. So we don't know where this is going to go, but it's, I don't know. It's a start. It may work out. It may not work out. But it does show that the what Trump was trying to do and his threats about bringing all this attacks onto their electric grid and their
bridges.
Yeah, bridges and some, I guess,
desalinization.
Some of their vital infrastructure did have some impact with somebody in Iran. Now, whether that's going to hold up or not, I don't know.
There are two principles in Islam that need to be kept in mind.
Taqiyya.
That's one of them. The other one is something called hudna, which means declaring a truce while you rearm and not undoing the truce until you're sure you can win.
And taqiyya is lying to the infidel.
Yeah, in order to advance the cause of Islam. I think I'm convinced that by the time this radio show airs, the truce will be gone. The ceasefire will be over.
Well, it should be gone tonight. He should hit them tonight.
Because we're recording on Wednesday, so look back.
Wednesday night. He should hit them tonight.
Well,
because this is the same thing they've been doing for 47 years. They pretend to negotiate, and they never abide by it.
Well, we have a friend in Israel who reported that 2 hours after the ceasefire was signed, he showed a picture of all the red alerts on his phone in Israel, which meant there are missiles coming in.
Yeah, and they use cluster bombs when they
which are aimed
Israel.
At civilians, not military targets.
Well, I question the reason that Trump agreed to the ceasefire. I think he's been under a lot of external pressure. I think a lot of the chatter that's coming from the progressive left about war crimes is in question. And I was brought to mind the movie Bridge Over River Kwai.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the Vietnam era?
Mm-hmm. No, that was World War II.
World War II in the Pacific.
Anyway, since when is it a war crime to blow up a bridge?
It's not.
It's only a crime if Trump's the one doing it. And I think that the optics...
You hit the hot button.
Right, that Trump. But I think that the optics that he is under right now with all the left, I think that this truce opportunity was a way for him to get out of that imminent decision right now. I think it was a way out. I wished he would have taken action. I want it over, no matter how it's going to be over, because we need the time to repair, to unite, to have the common. Everybody keeps saying, what's the exit strategy? Well, the exit strategy has never been given out, because why would you tell your enemies what your plans are? It's stupid to ask that. But everybody's talking about what's going to happen. Let's just win the war and be done and move on.
I don't think we will ever unite unless the Democrats are in full power and have total censorship and total repress any other opinion. I don't think we can unite with today's Democrats. I really don't.
Well, you notice the left pivoted immediately from it's a war crime to Trump chickened out. So it's a war crime if he does it, but because he didn't do it, now he's a coward.
I don't think there's unity with that. I don't think unity is possible.
No, I think the reality of it is, from Trump's perspective, is that the Straits of Hormuz has become such a key factor. And even if we had attacked the bridges and attack the electrical grid and so on, they still would have had the ability to close down the Straits of Hormuz. And that's creating all the, that's creating a lot of economic problems throughout the world, and including here in the United States. I mean, I drove the Raleigh the other day. I paid $6 a gallon for a gallon of diesel. And I think they don't have a positive, reliable way of keeping that strait open.
And why is that, Alan? With our military might and our Navy, how is it that they have that power?
The reason is that in order to close it, all you have to do is set down these underwater mines, which can be set down by boats,
small
fishing boats. So we did take out their Navy, but you don't need a Navy ship to go in and drop these. And obviously, we are concerned that these particular mines, once they start, if they start, you know, blowing that up, and we're not getting any support from NATO. I mean, the NATO countries who are more reliant on the Straits of Hormuz than we are, they have refused to step up and do anything to try to keep that strait open.
They don't have any resources to help.
However, the UAE is about to join the military effort against Iran because of the strait. They are very upset. They want to open that up, and they're willing to get involved even when NATO isn't.
Pat, you know, you mentioned that the NATO countries don't have any resources, yet they denied us access to the airfields that we built.
Well, I'm specifically talking about the Straits of Hormuz. They don't have any minesweepers.
No, they don't have anything to do.
No.
But again, the NATO has denied us access to things that we built.
Going back to the truce, the way that I read it, and the language is never written for my mentality, but it led me to believe that the ships that were going to be allowed to go through were going to be guided or let through by Iran, which makes me think that there are mines there. If they're going to be like guiding the ship through, does that tell us that there are already mines
there?
Well,
it's mines, Kim, and it's also drones. They can launch these drones from very hidden sites that can be moved around. And one of those drones hits one of those ships, they can blow that ship up.
So do we, our country, do you guys think that we as a country need for our own energy for the straits to be open?
Yes.
We don't, for our country, I don't think we do.
Yes, because oil is a global market.
But don't we make enough of our own that we don't need it?
We'll have gas, but the price will be set by the global market. And the global market is impacted by the Straits of Hormuz.
And I still say why.
And
if
we
make our own, why do we have to be a global market?
And we would probably create a depression in other parts of the world.
I don't care.
You would.
Everybody else cares about themselves. It's about time we care about ourselves. America first.
Well, when
we're not alone in the world.
When the strait was first closed and the price of oil spiked, the price of oil in America did not spike as drastically as it did around the world.
Yeah, but that's because Trump was taking measures to keep the price of gas from spiking.
Mm-hmm.
It's
He can't continue to do that.
It's just
spiked. And the thing is, if that continues, it's not just the fuel for your automobile. It's fertilizer. It's everything made from those products. And I agree with you, Kim. I don't understand why our country, which is 98% independent of any oil from outside this country. Okay, we have oil now coming from Venezuela. We have our own. Why does our price have to go up just because the global market? I don't understand that. To me, there ought to be a restriction on that. It's like you own a grocery store and you buy products and you're paying a certain amount. Somebody else is paying a higher amount in some other country. Then all of a sudden, your prices go up.
But it's,
I mean,
already,
I know
it's already
they call
like
it,
that, though. When we were in Canada, gas was a whole lot more expensive than it was here.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that, as Pat correctly said, it's based on this global market. But that global market system is detrimental to us being independent of what's going on in the rest of the world. Even though we have our own resources and we don't need it, we're still paying the price.
Our stock market is intertwined with the global
yes.
oil market as well, because the Dow is up 1,200 points today, and the price of oil on the global market's down $20.
Yeah. I want to go back to something about Iran, though, that I think needs to be part of the equation. With the idea that there may be peace in sight, it may take a while, but there may be peace in sight. Iran is hanging protesters. They're trying to get rid of anyone who might be part of a reasonable government in the future.
They can't hang 90 million people.
They can try.
No, they can't.
Well, if you hang enough, it intimidates the rest of them.
Yeah.
But these are not people who respect human rights. They're sending women and children out to be human shields.
Which makes me feel like their ideology is deeper than just the mullahs and the leaders. If they can get just citizens off the street to basically announce themselves as martyrs.
I don't know how often I have to say this, but Islam is not a religion. It is not separate from the government. It is a complete political system. The government and the religion is one.
And you also don't know how many of these people were paid or coerced to go out there.
Intimidated, yes. I believe that.
And as you said, as a single system, the value of life is a different part of their system than the way we treat life.
As a culture, we value life.
Yes.
And we as a country have always been aware of minimizing collateral damage.
No.
No?
World War II, our bombing campaign.
Well, since then.
I mean, World War II.
I'm talking about now. I'm talking about recent history.
You said never.
Well, I want to contest that when we get back.
Well, we've got another
Good
15
luck.
Seconds, so quick. Somebody get something in there for 15 seconds.
Well, the bombing campaign in World War II coming from England. The British did what? The daytime, and we did the nighttime, and we were civilian targets, and we bombed those German cities into rubble.
And you created a firestorm
in Dresden. And then we rebuilt
them.
Huh? And then we rebuilt them.
Yes, we did. But we did kill innocent people.
Well, I was just taking the issue with your statement that we had never gone after civilians. That was the whole mission in World War II.
Okay.
The bombing campaign.
Now we got to do a break. We're going to take a moment to hear from our sponsors and supporters again. Thank you for listening. And we ask you to visit our sponsors.
A professional auto service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. And we're right in the middle of,
An interesting discussion.
A hot topic, yes.
And I would like to respond. Are we on?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would like to respond to what Pat was saying. I agree with her that World War II was probably the first war in which the focus of the attacks changed from the enemy's military to civilians. And I think part of that had to do with the technology that was available. Like, for example, World War I, it was the Allied armies versus the German army and so on. But they were fighting, it was army against army, and the airplanes they had were really not sufficient to really attack inside those countries.
Well,
but when World War II started, then we were able to bomb. And the idea being we would punish those, like you said, the civilians.
Churchill wanted to punish them for the bombing of London.
Yeah, but I think the difference with Iran is they sacrificed their own people. Okay, I don't think we ever sacrificed our. For example, this issue about the Iran putting their, they had women and children marching around the bridges and the infrastructure that we had already told them we were going to bomb, which I think was probably a mistake. However, they did that before. And in the war between Iran and Iraq, what they did was they had minefields. Okay, and they used civilians to walk the mine, their own civilians.
Kids.
To walk the minefields to clear them so that they would protect their tanks.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, the difference is, it's not that we haven't attacked, civilians of an enemy. Iran sacrifices their own civilians.
Well, Hitler
for their
sacrificed Germans. He didn't care about the German people. Well,
but Iran sent 14-year-olds with little keys around their neck because if they got killed in the minefield, they would go right to paradise.
Well, you know, we need to go all the way back. I'm sorry to bring this up, living now that we've retired to the South. Sherman, when he came into Atlanta, he wanted to make it so horrible that we would never do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was.
But he wasn't advocating killing civilians. He was advocating destroying
the property and
the
stuff.
Property and their capacity and making them be punished. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But his plan wasn't to go out and kill civilians. And I think the difference is that Iran will sacrifice its own people as part of their strategy, which is very different from what we did in World War II. When we attacked Japan, here was the question. If we were going to invade Japan, we had already lost 30,000 men in taking Iwo Jima. We had anticipated it would have cost us, the soldiers, 100,000 to 150,000 of our soldiers if we invaded Japan. So what we did was we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but that's different than sacrificing your own people. And I think that's the difference with these.
And again, we're right now in the position when Iran goes and sacrifices their own civilians.
Yes.
And then our press is trying to make us feel guilty for that sacrifice.
Yep.
I heard some Democrats on TV last night saying that what Trump was proposing was genocide. But these are the same people who deny the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, anything the Democrats say.
Well, again,
you can just throw it away.
If Trump did it, and you're a Democrat, it has to be wrong. The only sane Democrat we have right now, and I never thought I would say this, is John Fetterman, which is a really scary thought.
Well, Trump has to consider that if the Democrats take the House back, they're going to impeach him, and I don't think he wants to be impeached for war crimes.
And it wouldn't, unfortunately, it probably wouldn't matter that he hadn't committed any.
No. They're going to impeach him.
It'd be all opinion.
Right.
And here's the thing. I agree with you 100%. I think the Democrats get in office, that's what they're going to do. They're going to bring back this whole impeachment process. I think that's going to alienate a lot of Americans, because I don't think a lot of Americans want to see that nonsense again. And the second thing is, by the time they get around to doing it, he's going to be out of office anyway.
Mm-mm. It won't take that long.
Well,
another thing I want to mention in relation to the war of Iran is the rescue of the weapons officer, because, number one, that was amazing. But number two, we had someone in America who tried to mess that up. We had somebody who leaked to the media.
It was an Israeli journalist.
Why would...
And how do we know that, Pat?
Because he came forward and said, I did it.
Oh.
You know that the...
And how did he get the information?
He's going to protect his sources.
You know, the interesting thing in that is that there was so much psyops going on that, at least from what we hear, again, the first casualty of war is truth, but we hear that, oh, well, we haven't found anybody, so there's Iran sending all of these people out to search, and we bring in, whether it's an A-10 or something like that, and eliminate all of those folks that are searching, and then, okay, we have one of the guys, and then the other individual, apparently they even used the CIA to help locate him, and everything that came into PSYOPs, that he was well hidden up high, and everybody was searching down low, The psychological effect on that.
But it is a miracle that we got him back. It truly is. Well.
Speaking of a miracle, think about the days that it was. Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, find a crevice, quote, cave. And then on Easter Sunday, get found.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's some symbolism there that...
I was impressed by the CIA technology where they use some system where they can detect his heartbeat.
Yes.
From miles away.
Mm. Yes.
Which is kind of scary. They can detect you by your heartbeat wherever you are.
Yeah.
That's the thing about all this technology, is when it's working for your side, it's great. But the possibility of that being used against us, if somebody gets in power that has a negative, that's kind of scary.
It's like all this atomic AI bomb.
You know, some of the preppers who have their escape planned and a cabin out in the woods or whatever. Do you really think a plane flying over with infrared isn't going to find you in 30 seconds?
Mm. Right, heat-seeking.
Yeah.
You'd have to wear one of those aluminum foil blankets on you all the time.
Or
that's right.
or a Chinese balloon flying over, folks.
Yeah. But I mean...
Who's searching?
You know, we have reached the danger of Big Brother. I mean, we have, I don't want to say her name because she'll talk back to us, but this device.
Alexa.
Yes. I mean, you're going to convince me that she's not listening to our conversations. How many times have you had her speak up in the middle of a conversation and say something?
Never at my house.
Alexa, the Amazon thing that listens in. Yeah, I had a friend of mine that about when that first came out. And my wife and I got it. We thought it was kind of a neat idea. But the lady said her husband got her that. And she shouldn't think that. Because she did not want anybody listening into her conversations that might be going on in their room.
Well,
which, you know, I hadn't thought
does.
About it that way. But it's got to be listening to you all the time.
Mm-hmm. Alexa, are you listening to us?
I'm designed to protect your privacy. You will know when I'm listening to your request. Just look for a visual indicator on your device or listen for an audio tone. Learn more by visiting amazon.com/alexaprivacy.
You can also contact Amazon, and they'll give you the recordings that they've, if any, if they've, mm-hmm. that they've
made
from
if you
from
believe
the house.
That they're being true.
Well, I appreciate the fact that I can ask her what the weather is in the morning.
Yeah, I do. I do.
I mean, we have a conversation in the morning, so I can find out what the temperature's going to be.
And she gets no back talk from the conversation. Yeah.
I'd like to go back to what happened with NATO in this process and what was going on with Iran. I think Trump, first of all, I don't think he notified NATO about what he was planning on doing, which I think was the right thing to do, because if you're going to have a military operation and you give that information out to a lot of other people going to leak it, you're setting yourself up for failure. So anyway, so he couldn't do it.
He couldn't tell Congress either for the same
NATO
reason.
Countries,
and if you're not going to support it, I'm not going to tell you.
Well, yeah, he specifically singled out Germany.
Germany, England, Spain.
France.
None of them, and most of them not only didn't join us, and what we were doing, we were actually protecting them more than we were protecting ourselves, because they're closer to the threat that Iran had by their missiles and so on. And they need the oil coming out of the through the Straits of Hormuz. But they just refuse to step up to the plate.
Well, in their defense, Trump did not invoke the charter in order to ask for their help.
That's true.
He asked for their
Article
help.
Article 5.
Whatever. He did not invoke it. And so as each country, they made their own political decision.
Yeah, and when their politics are based on the fact that all those countries have a high percentage of Islamists and Muslims in their countries.
Yes.
Well, I understand
think that's,
that.
To me, that has a lot to do with their decision not to support us going in there.
Because well, the other reason is they don't have any resources. I mean, Britain sent one battleship to Crete because one of the drones hit over there, and they had to turn back for repairs because their water system went kablooey.
Which, again, we're involved in NATO, and we do the protecting. We're the ones that are protecting them. Are they fulfilling their obligations? They haven't been.
No.
Been
financially,
pushing
them
to spend more money, and then we want to use airfields that are located in their countries that we pay for, and they say, no, you can't use them.
Right.
So I think we ought to get out of it.
I worry about in our own country now that we've got this going on. We've got the supposed 2-week ceasefire. I'm worried that sleeper cells will become active in this 2 weeks.
Well, we have to pray that our Justice Department and our Department of Defense
War Department,
I'm sorry, is awake enough these days to deal with that.
I think the call to arms has been made.
Yes.
I think if something happens like that, which I hope it does at all, I agree with you, Kim, I think it may be more justification for sending every illegal out of this country.
Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said E70 Pawn, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at E70 Pawn, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at E70 Pawn is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If E70 Pawn doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pawn will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pawn. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pawn, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. I think we're going to change topics. Mary, you wanted to take us someplace else.
I just wanted to note that the three women on this panel want Trump to bomb Iran tonight.
We are lethal.
Actually,
all right, four of us.
At least a couple of men also, yes.
This week, the Supreme Court has been hearing arguments about birthright citizenship. And one of the things that the Pat, you're the lawyer, and the phrase that they seem to be focusing in on is under the
subject to the jurisdiction thereof.
Okay.
What did the founders mean when they said that?
The people already living there.
Well, let me correct something. It wasn't the founders who did the 14th Amendment. It was in 1866, the Civil War.
You're right.
So it was really the
intent. For the slaves.
The intent of it was to ensure that slaves in the southern states were not denied citizenship rights in the southern states, which is what was happening. The southern states began restricting what blacks could do even after the Civil War, and they were free, but they tried to restrict them as citizens. And that's why they came up with this 14th Amendment.
Now, is this a point in time when the country was founded, and I know there's all sorts of discussion about considering blacks to only be three-fifths of a person, and that was to equalize the population in the South or whatever else. Now, this is to give a... This was to give the blacks full citizenship.
Yes.
Not three-fifths citizenship, but full citizenship.
Correct. But that what I'm saying is that took place after the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Because the southern states were not allowing the blacks to have full citizenship rights. So the Congress came back and they actually passed a bill that was called the Civil Rights Act of 1866 that attempted to correct it. And then they found they had to go to an amendment to the Constitution in order to make sure that the blacks and their children and grandchildren had full citizenship status. There was no effort at that time to address illegal aliens because there were no illegal aliens. There were no restrictions against people coming into this country.
Now, again, in the census that's taken every 10 years, up to that point, were the blacks only counted as three-fifths of a person in a census?
Yes, they were.
So therefore, this was taking that particular class of person and giving them full citizenship, and as you're saying... Yeah. Nobody from outside that you can't bring, like somebody says, your cow jumps the fence over to my farm and has a calf. Those are not my calf or my cow.
Yeah, right.
There's another aspect of this, and this came out of the Federalist last week. The full clause is, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. If you're here on vacation, you're not residing.
That's not where you live.
It's not where you live. And reside implies that you live there.
Right.
And subject to the jurisdiction, it's the same thing. For example, what's happening with these people from China, they have these organizations that send these Chinese women to the United States when they're pregnant. They have a child born. They go back to China, and that child has citizenship as a result of this ridiculous interpretation by the Supreme Court. And what was it, 1898 or sometime when this this decision came out, the Supreme Court decided there was a Chinese person who claimed that, well, I was, you know, here in the United States, and my parents were here, and I was born here, so I'm a citizen. And that Supreme Court at that time said, yes, anybody that's here, even if you come in as a visitor or whatever, and the child's born here. And there's no other country in the world that allows that, by the way.
But what happens? What happens 18 years later when thousands of these now 18-year-olds show up to vote and claim to be citizens?
Would you explain that to Justice Roberts?
Yeah, another moron. Mm-hmm.
Just in the last day or so, there was an article about Marco Rubio's parents, and they are naturalized citizens. However, they became citizens after Marco was born. So what the progressives are saying is Marco Rubio is an example of a birthright citizenship. And so, because they're talking about his political aspirations and possibly running for president.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're saying is that if this would go through, that Marco Rubio would not be a citizen.
No.
But were his parents here legally? I mean, they didn't come here illegally, did they?
No.
No.
So if they were here as legal immigrants, doesn't that make a difference?
Were they here legally, or did they escape from Cuba?
I don't know.
Well, I know they escaped from Cuba, but I think we were giving citizenship to people who were coming here seeking asylum.
I don't think they were part of the Mariel.
But the point was that his parents were not citizens,
mm-hmm.
and he was born here. That is the point.
But if the Supreme Court decides that we no longer have birthright citizenship, that doesn't make everybody who's already got it illegal.
I agree.
And he was born here. Technically, he was born here.
But that is an argument is why we shouldn't do that.
It's just another one of their stupid arguments.
Yes. Yes. We'll take a vote on that one. Unanimous.
It's going to be interesting to see what they come up with, because it is national suicide to allow birthright citizenship. But there are members of the Supreme Court that just don't seem to care.
Yeah, and
I think
John Roberts is one of them, and there's Amy Comey Bryant, whatever her name is.
Comey Barrett.
She's another one. Whatever Roberts does, she seems to go along with that. They look like two peas in a pod. And they'll go with the four? There's four liberals on there.
Kagan, Sotomayor.
So anyway.
Jackson.
And it's troubling because if you go back, and like we've already explained, when we go back, the only reason that amendment was made was to protect the people who were slaves, so that they could be citizens. It was never intended for illegal immigrants or people have come over and drop their kid here in the United States. I mean, it's so absurd. And I'm 99.9% certain that the people who drafted that amendment in 1866 would never have included what these Supreme Court justices and other people seem to be leaning towards now.
But doesn't anybody have an issue with our Congress? Why is this coming up now? This should have been a topic 50, 60 years ago.
Here's the problem with the way our politicians work, in my opinion.
Kick the can down the
Most
road.
Of them make their decisions on whether it's going to impact on whether they get reelected, not what's best for the country. And that's the best argument for, you know, term limits, because then you get to the point where maybe people would make a decision based on what's best for the country. But immediately when they make a decision, the first thing these politicians think about is, this going to impact my chances of getting reelected? And if it's going to be negatively impacting, what do? They say no.
There are video examples of Hillary Clinton, Chuck Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi all talking about illegal immigration and the effects that it has on the, not just the economy, but that it's wrong that they're here. And this is video evidence. They have changed their total feeling on, and it is about the voting bloc.
Yes, they figured out they could get the votes. I want to make a comment about legal immigration, about some recent legal immigration, and that is the South Africans that President Trump let in because of what's going on in South Africa with the white farmers being killed. And somebody did an update on them to ask what they were doing. And they have started farms, and they are contributing to the American economy, and they are glad to be here. And that's what happens when you have immigrants come in from countries whose culture is compatible with ours, who come here to contribute instead of to take.
The intention to assimilate, not to take over.
Right, exactly. And that's why we need to go back to what they had from 1926 until 1966, when the Democrats revised the immigration laws, that we had quotas on how many people could come from each country. And the quotas were higher from people from European Western civilization. That's what we're really talking about. We're talking about people or countries in which the people value the same things that we value. And that's not Somalia.
And I think even within those quotas, you were allowed in if you could contribute to this country and contribute in a positive way.
And you had to have, before you got in, came into this country, you had to show that you had support from a family member or somebody to support you. My grandmother came in, and she was 11 years old. And she had to have verified proof that she had a family member already here that had already committed themselves to support her. Otherwise, they wouldn't have let her in.
I want to go back to the South Africans for just a second. One of them was talking to an American who told her, "We have home invasions in this country, too." And the South African replied, "How many people do you know who have been home invaded?" And the American said, "None." And the South African said, "I don't know anyone who hasn't had a home invasion. Her elderly parents were tied up at gunpoint. She was grateful they were only robbed." So these are the people who are seeking asylum that we need to let in, as opposed to the people who are seeking our welfare benefits.
Well, the objection, the leftist objection to the South Africans, of course, is that they're white.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or that Trump did it.
Well, that too.
But he did it because they're white.
Insane.
I have heard an objection to the supposed robots, if you look back to iRobot, the supposed robots, because the supposed robots are all white and they shouldn't be white.
Yes, yes.
It boggles my mind. I can't.
Black robots, though, look scary.
Look scary.
But I still blame our Congress. All of these things go back to passing the buck, roll it down, let somebody else do it.
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org.
For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. We're going all over the place. Mary, where are you going?
I'm going to California here, and I'm going to talk about a legal case that has gone on for quite a while. In 2017, a man by the name of David DeLaden was charged because he did an undercover video for Project Veritas that showed the management of a Planned Parenthood place discussing selling aborted baby body parts. And the manager was all set to buy a new sports car because of selling these parts. Well, the attorney general in California at that point was Kamala Harris.
It had to have been before 2017 if the case has been going on for 12 years.
Okay, wait a minute. Well, it says the charges were filed in 2017. The charges stemmed from an investigation prompted by former California Attorney General Harris's office. And she left her position in 2017, and she left this case for him to do. And DeLaden was charged with the recording of the conversation showing what Planned Parenthood was doing. Planned Parenthood was never charged. And he was sued, and he was ordered in 2019 to pay $2.4 million in damages and $13 million in attorney's fees. Well, that case has now been cleared.
By whom?
By a California judge. The charges have been dismissed. Now, I don't know if he gets his money back. I don't know how that works. But at least the charges have been dismissed.
Well, I don't think he paid any of that fine.
I hope he didn't.
I mean, I don't think he had $13 million.
No, I don't think he did either.
Did this expose say what they were selling these body parts for? What were they being used for, and who was buying them?
Research labs that were using fetal tissue.
Like for stem cell research, yeah. That type of thing?
Or any...
Heart transplants on a baby or something like that.
Many body parts were apparently used for just analysis of how something grows.
That's horrible.
It is horrible.
Okay. We're going to change topics again. Alan, you want to take us to outer space?
Yeah, let's talk about something positive. The Artemis II, isn't that the correct
yes.
identification?
And they've now been slingshotted.
Yeah, they're now returning on their way back to Earth. I don't know how. When are they supposed to land? They will have landed
Monday.
By the time the radio show works, hopefully well. And it was just kind of unique to see us going off into the Mooney. It's been, what, 56 years or 58
years? Yeah, nobody alive in that capsule, nobody in that capsule was alive the last time we went around.
Yeah, and most of the astronauts that went to space then, most of them have passed away by now. And but, you know, it's, and the interesting thing about, isn't this a primarily a private operation instead of all government, the Artemis thing?
SpaceX, I think
it's, yeah. It's a private enterprise. I'm not saying they're not getting government support. They must be getting government support.
No, it is NASA.
It's a NASA.
It's NASA.
But SpaceX helped.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. But it's not all government. It's
and rather than NASA building the rockets or whatever, yes, a private enterprise designed and built.
Now this, if I understand it right, this is a preliminary step to setting up something on the moon that can be used to go to Mars.
This is all crazy to me because technological-wise, I just struggle with how did we land on the moon 57 years ago, whatever the number was, and then not be able to do it again until now. And technology is supposed to be better now. So
I don't think it was that we weren't able to. I think it was that we weren't interested.
Well, if you watch the movie, what was it, the Apollo 13, and they're doing the space shot. No channel was carrying the space shot for anybody. The only time that they started to carry it was when there was a problem. Something blew up, and then all of a sudden, all eyes were focused on that. But other than that, this was routine. Let's not.
We lost interest.
Yeah, we lost interest.
And I think of the people. I mean, eventually, there may be people living on Mars in totally climate-controlled, et cetera, conditions. But if you think about, go back to the pilgrims. If you think about the people who made the journey to America, the pilgrims, they never expected to return to England. They never expected to necessarily write letters or be able to communicate with their families after they got here. I mean, wasn't that as drastic a step then as our going to the moon?
Well, the fatalities on a lot of those early cruises were much greater than we would tolerate now.
Yes.
There were a lot of people who died from various causes on those ships because it would take two and a half months for them to sail from England over to the United States.
I'm just talking pure technology. I heard people talking about all the testing that has to be done for this lunar landing. And we did it 57 years ago. Didn't we already have? I just don't understand why it's such a bigger deal now. It seems to be a bigger deal now with all the testing and all the stuff than it was then.
Because we weren't trying to put people there then.
Our iPhone has as much power as the whole darn space shot.
Well, I read that
back then
we forgot how to land. We had to go back and figure it out.
Well, that would make sense because we haven't done it again.
One thing I know from having worked at a government contractor, okay, was the government contracted us to make actually the MX missile reentry system or whatever else. So while we're making it, we're paying what's called direct employees to actually make these parts or whatever else. After that contract is done, guess what? You're all laid off. Well, one of the missile systems that we had to work with, after a number of years, they found out that mice and rats were actually eating all of the electrical cables. So we need to remake all the cables for these missiles that were in the ground. Where are all those people that we used the first time around? They've got their own pizzeria. They've gone on to other things. Do you want to come back and work again? Hell no, pardon my French. No, we don't want to come back because we don't want to do this.
Yeah, like you say, Bob, you develop certain skills and you develop certain technologies and certain procedures to land on the moon 50 years, but you haven't done it since then. So you have this big gap of knowledge. Like you say, a lot of people who did it then are no longer available or even around to do it now. And the other thing I heard was that they're anticipating that there may actually be items on the moon that may be a benefit to us, certain minerals or whatever they think they may be able to find. Like I heard something the other day that they think that there's ice and some and things in certain parts of the moon that are never exposed to the sun, and there might be other things. So they're hoping maybe they get some, whether that's going to turn out to be true or not. I know they brought back a lot of samples of rocks and stuff from the moon, but
there's also the risk of bringing back some kind of virus, just like the Europeans did for the Indians. They could wipe us all out.
That's right.
You know, any scientific adventure involves risk.
They did, and you're right, because when the items they brought back, didn't they isolate them for a certain period of
yes.
time?
Yes,
they probably
yeah.
did.
The,
yeah.
the moon rocks,
and
the
moon rock for certain.
Yeah. You know. And then this time around, taking a number of pictures on the, quote, the dark side of the moon, because the moon does not rotate in reference to the Earth. It stays with the same face. And to take some really, really high-definition pictures or whatever, so just things that we've never seen before.
So they have to decide whether they want to be on the side of the moon where you disintegrate because of the sunlight or whether you freeze because of the cold.
Well, we don't want to freeze. No, we're not going to freeze.
I mean, it doesn't seem like, you know, it doesn't seem like an optimal choice there.
Well, you obviously have to be in the light side. You don't want to be in the dark.
The other thing that we saw with this capsule is here's four individuals in this capsule. Now they've worked together for 2.5 years trying to get ready for this trip. But again, four individuals, when you're up in space and you have no idea which side is up, which is down, or whatever else, you're just floating free in space. Again, we talked about it that the toilet didn't work originally. That got fixed, okay. But these four individuals are experiencing things that Even our space station right now, they have certain things that they can use to create artificial gravity, certain ways that they work.
Well, yes, that's why, like in the space stations, they rotate.
They rotate.
Because when they rotate, that's the
centrifugal force.
It creates artificial gravity
yeah.
for them to be able to walk around.
Well, I think the best comment I heard was evidently during one of their press conferences or whatever they call them, where they were communicating with Earth and the TV was showing it, a jar of Nutella went floating across, and someone made the comment that that's the best unpaid advertising you will ever see.
When I was at a dinner, when I was stationed at Goodfellow Air Force Base in Texas, we had a dinner, and the guest speaker was one of the astronauts. And he described, because somebody asked him to, how to have a bowel movement in space. And I thought that's what you were going to start talking about, Bob. And I was like, let's don't go. It scarred me.
But you brought it up.
Because he started talking about the toilet, and it went right, my head went right there. Oh, no, not that again.
Well, one of the interesting things about it, they were talking about, like, and I think Elon Musk has talked about this, about sending men to Mars. Mars is like an 8 or 8.5 month journey. Okay? It's not like, what's the moon? 3 days each way, something like that. This is 8.5 months. Now, what impact that weightlessness would have on the human body after 8.5 months
right.
may be a lot different than what they've experienced. So, you know, we got a lot to learn on about that. If we reach out that far.
And I'd mention to everybody, go and watch the movie The Martian. It is a great, great movie, and you see so many challenges within the movie.
We'll do it.
Okay. One other quick thing. Chicago Bulls released the star player saying Christian things are wrong. So Jaden Ivey, he didn't get arrested, didn't snort cocaine, didn't beat up on anybody, but he was declaring his Christianity.
Because he was against Pride Month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently, since then, the woke decider has been fired.
And the person who fired him has been fired.
Two people.
Will they hire him back? Will they hire him back?
No.
I don't know.
Another good reason not to watch the NBA.
Okay. On that, folks, we got to end. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. You have a wonderful week.